I'd like to take a moment here, if you don't mind, Chris.
It's your show, Rich.
I appreciate you saying
that. Yeah, no problem.
This is The Rich Eisen Show, live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chris Long here on The Rich Eisen Show. What do you make of a 17-game schedule?
I thought go woke, go broke was the saying. I thought that, like, I thought we weren't going to make any more money as a league because players were speaking out.
Earlier on the show, sports media personality John Boy, golf swing coach Chris Cuomo, coming up, star of Universal Pictures film Nobody, Bob Odenkirk, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We are on the air. It's opening day. We've already seen a couple of home runs of note. The first home run of the season hit by Miguel Cabrera. He does it in a... it's not a blizzard, right?
It's not a blizzard.
It's a snow shower.
Flurries, maybe?
That doesn't look like a flurry to me.
Yeah, that's
snow
a
shower? Yeah. All right, I'm down with
that. And he doesn't see it leave the yard because of the... You know, the old Tiger Stadium used to have obstructed seats, because of the poles. Okay.
Remember when the pole used to be in play?
Yeah,
at old Tiger Stadium.
Oh my gosh.
Because dead center was like 460, the pole was in play.
Yeah, man. I went to the old Tiger Stadium when I was
awesome.
When I was in freshman year in college. Yeah, man. I'd go to the old Tiger Stadium. I remember this about the old Tiger Stadium. Well, anyway, Cabrera couldn't see it leave the yard in the old. Is it Comerica? Did they rename it? I can't tell anymore. But he slid into second base just in case it didn't leave. It's just like, get up. It's gone. And so here's what I learned at the old Tiger. Because when I went to the University of Michigan coming from New York City, I learned a lot. It was amazing. I learned that, you know, I think there's an old New Yorker cartoon about the view of the world from New York. And it would look over the United States, right? And it would just be, what, the rest of America? And then there'd be one part of Chicago, and then there'd be one part of, like, Los Angeles. But the rest of it was just everybody else, you know what I mean? Like, it's just New York, it's everybody else, and then it would be Japan. Right, like that's the view of the world from New York.
That makes sense.
And so there's no really other spot. There might be one spot in Chicago, another stop in Los Angeles. That's it. But when I went to Michigan, I learned there was just different ways of life and different ways of people talking. You know, what I would call sneakers, they'd call tennis shoes. What I called soda, they would call pop. What I would call sprinkles, they call Jimmy's. And my way of saying, and I'd say, what's your problem? And then I was surrounded by a much larger group of people that would look at me saying, what's your problem?
Yeah, right.
You know, and then I would, after just the first few months of being at Michigan, where if you just set a toe in the street, cars would stop to let you cross where you, as a pedestrian, are allowed to cross. You know, like they would actually acknowledge you as a pedestrian in the street by stopping their car. Which was to me like, oh my God, people do that? And then I would go home for Thanksgiving and my friends would have to pull me back by like my shirt collar to keep me from getting run over. But the one thing that I found out that you don't do in Michigan and the Midwest writ large, with the exception of the old Chicago Stadium in Chicago, is in New York, and you know, Chris, in Boston, when the national anthem is sung before the game, in the last two lines,
start clapping.
You're ready for the game. Like you're getting fired up.
Let's go.
You know, when it's land of the brave and land of the free and home of the brave, I knew I would go Enrico Palazzo right there and blow it. But when, you know, the last lines of the national anthem, you're cheering over. Mm-hmm. Okay? In Baltimore, you go, oh, for, you know, oh, say, can you see, or anything like that.
They
scream, oh, yeah. But at any rate, so put it all together, and I was there, you know, on at Tiger Stadium. And they're singing the national anthem, and I'm clapping in the last two lines of the national anthem. And people stared at me like, what the hell are you doing?
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, this is what I do. You know, I'm a fan. This is what's done. How I grew up. And they do not do that in the state of Michigan, at least. And I think the Midwest is, they stand at attention to quiet throughout the entire national anthem. And then when it's over, you clap.
Wait, okay.
That was really awkward. My first time in Tiger Stadium.
The entire stadium just staring darts at you.
Yeah, I remember. Yankees were there, and I was there in my Yankee hat. Maybe that's why they're staring at me,
well,
too.
Okay, you buried that one.
Well, I know. I buried it on that one.
Wait a second.
This was Tommy John was the Yankee starter that day. That's,
Tommy John?
Yes, sir.
Wait, what year was this?
1986, 87.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Right around opening day.
Tommy John.
Yeah, when I was creating the K-Corner.
You know, this guy.
See, now let's get into this.
This guy, Rich.
You said before, if the Yankees don't win this year, you're going back to the Mets.
I'm done.
That's
I'm
the
done.
One.
What do you mean
you're done?
11, I'm, we, 2009, that's like.
And wait, you want to come to the Mets?
I can go back to the Mets.
I can go back to the Mets.
Because I was a Mets fan for a minute. I went Yankees, Mets. I'm like the fair weather guy, you know? I admit it. But now I've been a Yankee fan since.
They started winning,
92.
You mean?
No, 91.
91 is when they were the worst. That
exactly.
was when Stump
when
Merrill
back.
Was that you went back when they were at their worst?
Yeah, I went back. I just became an – because my brother started like in the Mets again. So I was like, I'm done. I would go to the other team.
Yeah, I
don't know about this.
No,
this
reeks no, of, no.
Like you won't
no,
even, you
no,
can't
I'm
even say like
guy.
when Roberto Kelly was you
I'm
know
a
dominating.
Guy. I like Don Mattingly. I met him one day at some store back – I was like, that's –
he met Don at some store, someplace.
I don't remember, man. He's signing things.
And
whatever.
That got him hooked
and
on the Yankees.
And he was signing things.
He met him at PC Richards.
Yeah, it might have been. No, crazy
so if
Eddie,
the Yankees
crazy
don't
Eddie.
Win this year,
I'm
they're going to win like 95 games, maybe 100.
Yeah,
scratch
they're going to win a lot.
We've been so good and sucked for so long since 2009.
They have not like, sucked for so long. They've yes. just, they, Mike, they just finished their first decade where they did not win a World Series.
I'm sick. That's
right?
sicking me. Right
and
there.
So I understand that.
So you're saying you want to come to a team who hasn't won the World Series since 86.
Yeah, exactly.
But I saw them win in 86. I like them. It's like, I want. They're going to be better. They're going to spend money.
I mean, I know I you guys clown on me about having
order.
Multiple.
I like where he's going. I like that.
You like Bobby Axelrod.
I mean, yes.
I know Billions. You guys clown on me about having multiple teams, but something to be said about keeping a team who hasn't won in that long.
That is worse than yours, yes. I've given you so much crap for having multiple. By the way, multiple teams is damn near a dozen. Okay, across all sorts of sports, right? So, yes, where you've got so many bases covered, there's not enough bases to cover.
I only got one baseball team, though, man.
That's right.
You
one.
Know, like on a Twitter profile where people put their teams, TJ can't fit all of his teams.
Yeah, there's not enough characters, actually.
Mike, I'll say this on this national broadcast.
Yes, Rich.
If there's anyone anywhere on this earth, anywhere, in the sound of my voice, that knows another person that is a Yankee fan, proclaims to be a diehard Yankee
I love
fan,
the Yankees.
Correct. Who says, if they don't win in 2021, I'm going to start rooting for the Mets. Can you tell me, is this man, as I suspect, a unicorn on planet Earth? Chris, I don't know of another person. Would you know of – I don't know. I wouldn't know of another diehard Yankee fan – I'm a diehard Yankee fan who then, I guess, then also on top of it proclaims to have helped found the famed Dwight Gooden K Corner in the old Shea Stadium where they used to hang up the letter K, you know, anywhere between. You'd have to, for a Gooden start, just in case, bring 25 Ks.
Oh, yeah.
Stadium.
It was like there was
probably, you'd have to bring at least 15. Regular K's and 15 backward K's. You got the bases covered. Okay. So you got your bases covered. You'd have to bring all of them. You proclaim that you started.
No. First of all, I don't proclaim that I started. I proclaim that I got credited for starting it because the New York Times came up to me and my friend who had seats right where the guys that did it, but they left. So they came and said, who's working the K corner today? I don't know why these guys left. We got interviewed. So in theory,
I haven't.
Your only time at the K Corner was the one time the New York Times stopped by.
We used to buy tickets for a lot of games. I would go in all the time.
I understand that, but the one time you were in the K Corner,
yes,
and the only time you were in the K Corner was the one time the New York Times happened to be there that
day. It was opening day,
and you were the Stunads who took their seats because these other.
No, we knew the guys. I went to spring break with them after. Yeah, we knew the guys.
Spring break with the K Corner guys.
I mean, these guys were cool.
That sounds like a hell of a spring break.
I can't think of the guy's name. It was probably Vinny. I don't know. I mean, who knows? They were Goombas with us.
And this guy is now going to go back to the Mets if the 2021 Yankees don't win at all.
I'm going to deny his application. I'm telling you that right now. As the premier Mets fan, I guess, on television, I might be the only one. I'm going to have to say your application is denied.
Mike, you can come to Boston.
No, you guys
You'll never do that.
You got Cora. I mean, you got Cora.
Oh, my God.
We cheat.
Strike.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
I mean, everybody cheered.
So, here's the latest item on the old Twitterverse that's going a little bit off the charts right now. Derrick Henry, as you know, did some remarkable sit-ups. I mean, push-ups. Where he's on that.
He's on like a band.
A band, right? One of those resistance bands.
That he has, stretched across the squat rack.
Right. So he's doing push-ups on that, balancing on a yoga ball.
Oh, my God.
With this is ridiculous.
A very heavy chain link.
Probably like a 30-pound.
30-pound chain
the Rock,
link around.
The Rock works out with these things, like other, big-time power lifter.
I gotta try that.
That's insane.
Insane.
So Ryan Tannehill just tweeted this out literally 15 minutes ago. There he is doing it, and he is doing the same thing. I mean, the resistance band does appear to be a little higher, but in comes his wife, Lauren Tannehill, and to add the chain link, it's the chain on a very expensive bag.
She put a Birkin bag around it.
I don't know if that's Birkin.
It's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, I'm with
it's something.
That looks, I'll be honest with you, as somebody who's been around, I'm going to go and I run the risk of my wife watching this video later because Lauren Tannehill put the bag around Ryan's neck with the logo of the bag facing the wrong way. It's obscured. If I had to go here, I'm gonna go Fendi. I'm going Fendi.
Fendi.
Oh.
I'm going Fendi.
Oh.
And I'm gonna roll the dice, and I'm gonna go Fendi. But by the way, Tannehill is doing push-ups.
He is doing
with
it
with the ball, the balancing ball, and a resistance band. That is a fact.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I may try that today.
Oh, jeez.
Jim,
would you please do that?
Mike, please. For the love of God, please do
it.
Would you do that?
I will try. I could probably do one
it
and
doesn't
not
matter.
Die.
No, doesn't
who
matter.
Die.
Who cares? All just,
Mike,
just do it.
Mike, Tony and I
this
do
is now a, what do we call it? It's a challenge. We don't. I
am
no
training. Just
and then
so you
got a challenge for other people
the
to
Derrick
try.
The Derrick Henry challenge. Let's go
I am
for
training
it.
With Dolph Lundgren's stunt double. So it's... I got a real trainer this time. Like this guy.
By the way,
no joke.
By the way, I'm sure he's no joke, and I'm sure he's doing the right thing by you. If you had just stopped there, I'm training with fill in the blank, and it's 80s movie star, and then fill in the other blank. The other thing is that it's a proper what it's a movie set occupation.
I think I found
and
the
proper name of 80s stunt double. I would definitely go with Dolph Lundgren's stunt double or Steven Seagal's gaffer. Wait, we could keep going here.
We could keep going here. We could totally keep going. Like Sylvester Stallone's best boy.
No, Sylvester Stallone's. No, I think that's he's too.
Too big?
He's 70s.
What was the guy
he's multi-generational. We got to go
big?
80s
okay.
here.
Just straight up 80s?
80s.
The guy that punches, what's his name in the movie? In,
Van Damme?
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme's key grip.
Now we're talking.
You know what I mean?
I'll be back.
Robert Davi's personal assistant.
Robert Davi.
Goonies, Rich.
Please keep going.
Thank you, sir. Should I keep going? I got
one.
I got one more. Here we go. And this could be a good fantasy team name.
Get ready.
I'm ready.
Richard Krenna's Craft Service.
For a
Richard Krenn is another different
first blood.
He's first blood. He was. Yeah, absolutely.
What's the name of the guy that played the co-leader of Cobra Kai?
Oh, yeah.
What's that guy's
Martin re- Cole.
Yeah, Martin Cole.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Yeah, Martin Cole.
Now, that would be Martin Cove's best boy.
Yeah, that would be Martin,
Martin Cove's best boy.
Where
also,
are we going?
Also first blood.
I mean, that's who you're training with, Martin Cove's best boy.
I will try one of these today.
Dolph Lundgren stunt double.
Hey, I'm working
and
out
trainer.
With... I'm working out with Charles Bronson's dialect coach later on. Just so, hey, Rich, by the way, I kind of did a quick Google search.
Yeah.
I think you might be right about this
Fendi
bag.
Dude, are you serious? Don't make this one of your April Fool's jokes.
No, look, Shrimp, I Googled Fendi bag with chain, and a black one came up on the website, and I'm looking at it, and I think you might be right.
Let's see. I think this might be a Fendi bag.
Okay.
Bottega
Veneta.
Thank you. Thank
Trust me, I've been around these blocks, sir.
That was close. We made
all right, so we just had a call from a listener say on the Tannehill video.
Yes.
A discrepancy.
Uh-oh.
Derrick Henry, while doing it, is on his tiptoes. Ryan Tannehill is kind
on,
of
on the tops of his on
no,
the
he's
tops
kind of
his
on
of
like
feet.
His shins, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
but still, though, man.
He's not on his shins. So
nah, he's not on his shins.
Come on, let's give Ryan a little bit of credit here.
Let's see it. Come on.
Is it really a caller is like nitpicking here?
Yeah, he was like, hey, make sure you
hold on a minute. Okay, so here's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry. He's through it here.
Derrick Henry, tiptoes.
By the way, a shirt off, too.
And
those are tiptoes. Those are tiptoes.
Tiptoes.
Okay. Now, that's Derrick Henry. Don's loading up Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan's not on his tiptoes, but he's not on his shins either.
I think he's on the tops of his feet.
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock him for this.
Okay, right, okay, like he's, No. Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, what he's doing is still
he's still on his foot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to take away that that's difficult.
Right, and then, you know, there comes the bag that...
That's a Bottega.
Might be named Fendi. You think that's a Bottega bag?
No, it's a Bottega. I'm looking right at it.
Right,
it even has the chain.
Different workout partners.
Look that up.
He's not on his tiptoes. That's all the call is pointing out. Not on his tiptoes.
Still, though. I mean,
close. I mean, can we give the guy a
little bit of credit? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, I'm going to try it. I may kill myself.
Give the guy a little bit of credit.
Mike, please, for the love of God, try this and make sure it's videotaped.
With Tony, I'll do it.
Yes.
Videotape. Video recording.
Would you please do that?
Well, if I do one, I could
just Mike. I want you to film the whole thing. Like, I don't even think you'd be able to get up onto the ball.
You may be right. I'm not going to say I can.
Like,
all right, Rich.
That's a lot of articulation for my body.
Rich, speaking of which, Mike actually might be right about this Bottega bag. Now that I've seen it in the same color,
good sleuth.
I think Del Tufo's right.
Do me a favor. Try that. Hold on a second. Let me come up with something here. Try that later on with George Peppard's first assistant. I love it when the plan comes together. By the way, great job making sure my batteries don't go out in the middle of the segment either, Mike. Well done.
Sorry, Rich.
When we come back, Bob Odenkirk. Donna, do not hear your count to break.
Five,
Bob Odenkirk
four.
Will be joining us from Better Call Saul next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Let's take Nathan in Los Angeles. How you been, Nathan?
I have been well. How about you, Rich?
Thanks for holding on for as long as you did. What's on your mind, sir?
I couldn't help but think here on opening day of baseball, can you think of a time when the term or the phrase "hope springs eternal" has meant more or been more appropriate?
Preach. Preach.
I mean, it just feels right. Not just saying the teams feel hope springs eternal for them. It feels like kind of a hope springs eternal for us all.
For us all. Damn straight, man. I totally agree with you. And maybe you're also saying that if you're here in Los Angeles, then it springs eternal for a full season victory for the Dodgers, or you're an Angels, or
actually no, I'm from the East. I live in LA, but okay. I'm from the East, so I'm TJ. I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, all right. We're learning about Nathan in Los Angeles.
My man, Nate.
Okay, yeah, all
right. Nate the Great.
By the way, Mike, even Giant and Jet fans who have, by comparison, no rivalry at all.
Right.
There's no Jet fan on earth that would say, I'm quitting and I'm going to go be a Giant fan.
Damn straight.
There's no
Nate.
Giant fan that would ever say, I'm quitting and I'm going to go be a Jet
I
fan.
I live through
that
the greatness of the Yankees, though, Nathan. That's the problem. Like, I'm kind of like used to that winning. That taste, like, Brockman's going to understand it's Boston. You know, if he goes like five.
Do you realize how many times Brockman has won since last time you won?
Yes, exactly.
13.
Oh,
13 parades in the last
Nathan, thank
years.
You for the call, sir. Greatly appreciate that. Nathan in Los Angeles, yeah. Rightfully calling out Mike Del Tufo for his insanity.
I'm upset.
So, as you all know, our first in-studio guest in the history of the Rich Eisen Show, if you don't already know, but as you all know, we're big Breaking Bad fans. Vince Gilligan came by here. He's our first in-studio guest in the history of the show back in October of 2014. So we have been Breaking Bad fans forever, and thus Better Call Saul fans forever. Bob Odenkirk is Saul Goodman in that show, and he Zoomed with us this show from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he was shooting the finals episodes of Better Call Saul to talk about his new film that has been critically acclaimed all over the map, Nobody. Here's Bob Odenkirk on the show. And joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, big fan of this man's work in Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. His new film is Nobody, in which he plays somebody who looks like a nobody but is anything but. He is Bob Odenkirk. How are you, Bob?
Great, Rich. How are you?
I am better for talking to you. So let's get into a whole bunch of good stuff with you, Bob. Let's start with the sports. Let's start with the Chicago Cubs. That is your team, correct?
I was going to ask you as the last thing. I was going to say, tell me about the Cubs. I mean, I know Schwarber's gone, and there's a lot of trading in and out, and I'm sad to see people leave who I've gotten to know over the last few years. But here's how it works with me in sports.
Okay.
My wife hates sports.
Oh, gosh.
She hates them so much that she told me once, just so you know, I won't go into a room if you have sports on in that room.
Oh, my gosh. Bob.
If you have sports on the TV, I won't walk into that room.
So has she never been to Wrigley Field then?
She's never had. She went. She
okay.
Went. She had a great time.
Because
won't that win anybody over? I mean, come on. Wrigley is the greatest place in the world. I can't wait to get back there and sit there and watch a game and just take it in. It's just the best. I used to live about 6 or 7 blocks from there, right down the street, Pine Grove. And I worked at Cozy's Bike Shop on Clark or Halsted. And I used to go to the afternoon games because it was like – $7 for bleacher seat. And it was, you know, all these games that started at one and nobody could go to them, you know, and you just wander over there and buy a ticket and watch the game.
Do you have a Harry Carey story? Did you ever run into him? Did you ever meet him? Anything like that?
When I was a little kid, my grandfather grew up four blocks from Comiskey, old Comiskey.
Okay. Same
place.
South
side. And so he was a Sox fan when he was young, and we went, and Harry was still at the Sox. Remember Harry was
yeah. He was a South Side voice before he was synonymous.
And we sat right underneath his booth, and he would drop down the net with the programs and pick up the programs and sign them and then drop them back down. I mean, I never met Harry, but from when I was a kid, like 9 years old, he was a big part of my world. To have seen him there, because we sat right under the booth on one of the games we went to. And then I don't know if my grandfather became a Cubs fan because Harry moved to the Cubs.
That might make sense. So who was, I guess, your Cub growing up? Who was the guy was it Andre Dawson? Could have been Ryne Sandberg, one of those guys back in the day?
No. I met Ernie Banks.
How cool is that? Ernie Banks is one of the greatest human beings of all time. I remember I was dating my now wife, and we were on a golf range, Bob, and hitting golf balls in Phoenix. You know, I don't know why. And then Ernie Banks was there, and I'd met him at an ESPYs awards, and he came up. He asked us, you know, if we were going to have babies together, if we're going to get married. We were just dating at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, Ernie, I don't know if we're going to play too like that, but he was just telling us about the beauty of family and being, you know, being in love. And he was just a human being. It was just the greatest thing ever, Bob.
One night he signed baseballs at the little local bank in Naperville where I grew up. And I don't know who took me there, but I waited in line and got his autograph on a ball. And I also like Fergie Jenkins. I don't know why. But
Fergie. Okay, there you go. He just won a ton of baseball games for the Cubs. It's the best.
Great, yeah.
It's cool. Bob Odenkirk here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get into your film here, Nobody. Sure. And what did you like about it? I'm sure, again, you get a lot of scripts in front of you and you get to pick and choose what you want to do.
No, Rich,
what do you got for you?
And Rich, the movie came from me. It was my idea.
Okay. So walk me through it then.
There's a lot of reasons why I pursued it, but I was here shooting Better Call Saul, and this show plays around the world. And my brother-in-law, Luke, sent me a screen grab of an ad for the show in China. And I thought, holy crap, they're watching me in China. What kind of movie could I make that could play? Because I knew this show played in Russia and Italy and action movies play around the world. And I started thinking about the character from Better Call Saul, who's like a striving guy who fails and never quits. And he's earnest. It's a kind of, you know, he's a very funny character at times, but there's a lot of times when he's on screen and he's utterly earnest and not ironic at all. And his heart is on his sleeve. And I thought, that's an action character, except that he doesn't fight, but otherwise that's an action character. So if I'm willing to learn to fight, which I am, it'll take years to get a movie made, and I have years. And then I started thinking about a story and a character. You know, I've had two break-ins in my home, very disturbing to my family, left me with a lot of feelings that are expressed in this movie, Nobody. A lot of what you see in the first few minutes is from my life, which is so weird because it's a total genre movie and it goes into fantastic realms. It's written by Derek Kolstad, but the nugget, the initial idea of what drives the character and the sort of intense feelings of frustration and rage are from my life and including that break-in and including when the one, have you seen the movie?
Have I seen the movie yet? I have not, sir. Oh. I got the link last night. And as you know, I've got three small
at one
children.
Point in the first, yeah. In. Well, don't let them walk in on you watching this movie.
Okay, sounds good.
They'll have nightmares. This is not for kids. And somebody holds a gun up to me and they want my wedding ring and I won't give it to them. That's actually from an incident in my life as well, when I got held up in Chicago and they told me to do something and I said no. And so this little nugget of the character and where it begins is all from me. And then where the story goes is all Derek Kolstad. So I had this idea, and I had this idea that I could, unlike a lot of times when you see the trope of the guy who's a nobody and he's going to fight, you know, and he's going to surprise you all with his skills. It's often played by an action star and you go, well, I know he can kick ass. I've seen him kick ass in 20 films already. I don't for a second believe that he's unsure of himself or this might not turn out the way he wants it to. You know, I thought I could actually bring that to the screen because nobody thinks I could do anything. And I doubt it myself. And also, Rich, if you do see the film, I really wanted to put that in my character's eyes, this feeling of, I don't know if I can do what I'm setting out to do. He doubts himself. And so these were things I thought I could bring to this genre. This is a genre movie. If you like action movies, I hope you'll love it. I wanted to make people who love this type of film happy because I'm a bit of an interloper.
Well, you, as I told you when I've met you personally, I'm a huge fan of everything that you do, and Nobody is in theaters right now, and it's available on premium video on demand on April 16th. And you have been in some remarkably iconic pieces of television, for sure, from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. The Larry Sanders Show, Bob, to me, was so far ahead of its time and so remarkable. What was it like to be on the set of that show, Bob?
Well, Gary Shandling, you know, was everything. The spirit of the show, the mind of the show, the work ethic of the show was Gary Shandling. I mean, it was, I think one of the reasons he didn't do too much after that and not much in TV at all was because he kind of did it exactly the way he wanted, and it worked out the way he wanted. And what more is there to prove, sort of? But, you know, it was a fun set, except for Gary.
what he was just, it was...
Gary was very serious and sweated every line and every choice to a degree that made me feel a little sorry for him.
No kidding.
I wished he could have enjoyed his achievement more, but he was trying to achieve it as we were doing it. And he was trying to make it perfect. And there's no such thing as perfect, except sometimes you get lucky with an outcome and everything comes together, but you can't be perfect. You can only be the best that you can be every day. And, but he was aiming for perfection and he got pretty damn close. And it's really a special and unique show that is dramatic and funny and deep and shallow. It's everything.
It is. You're great in it. The cast was remarkable. And every single time that anytime I watch one, I have to drop the remote to the end. It is just so much fun to watch. And it's such a piece of, you know, history of television that, you know, you were a part of there. And then obviously Saul Goodman comes your way, and now Jimmy McGill about to become Saul Goodman, or has just become Saul Goodman. You're in Albuquerque right now shooting the final episodes of this character.
Yeah.
I know this is Fight Club type stuff. You can't talk about it, but what can you possibly tell me about this final season of Better Call Saul you're shooting right now?
I can tell you that, you know, our show has been a slow burn, and for some people, extremely slow. But similar to Breaking Bad, but I think to a greater degree, that Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould and the writing staff set up all these dominoes, you know, and now they just are knocking them down. As we go into our final season, big things are happening constantly. And it really is blowing my mind and making me very happy and very excited because I want to give the audience that reward. And also I empathize and I like my character, but I want him to get his ass kicked and come out a better person, a different person. I just want him to feel the pressure all the way and just crack and become something else. And that's what they're doing. And they're doing it with all the characters, not just Saul, not just Jimmy McGill. And yeah, so get ready, man. It's going to be really something.
I cannot wait. So do you know how it ends right now, or is that?
No, I don't. I have only read the first four.
Okay. So yeah. when you get the script, you must be
I get to read it like a fan, and I could read all of them, but they have them, but I just choose to go one at a time as we work on them. And it's like, I can't wait to see what happens next. And it's always surprising, and it always makes emotional sense. It's crazy what they do.
It is great. And like I said, you're terrific in it. The second to last episode of last season was as close to a Breaking Bad episode as I think Better Call Saul got, where you were stuck in the desert with Mike Ehrmantraut and needing to consume your own fluids to actually survive. I'm assuming that was Gatorade. What was that? What was that in the bottle?
I wish it was Gatorade.
Well, I mean,
it was not urine. Fake urine, like you can get at the grocery store.
Like you get at the White Sox games, not at the Wrigley game.
Buy it in bulk, don't you? At Costco, they have fake urine. Just go to the back aisle.
Fantastic. Well, as you matriculate your way through that show and, want to talk about it, I'd love to have you back on the show. And I'm look forward for everybody to seeing Nobody, which is again in theaters right now and available on premium video on demand on April 16th with Bob Odenkirk. Great to see you, Bob. Thank you for the time.
You're rich. Thanks.
You got it. That's Bob Odenkirk right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
If you were him, would you want to see the end of the Better Call Saul? If they literally have all the scripts currently in an office somewhere where he could go to and just go straight through.
You want to wait, right?
I don't know. I think that...
I
don't know.
I think back to... Your process of acting, you need to just
in the moment.
Right.
I just remember Kit Harington saying for the final Game of Thrones one, everyone got sent the script early, but he waited until the table read to actually read it for the first time because he wanted to see everyone's reaction. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Bob.
Maybe that's that too.
Maybe Bob's doing
that. But didn't they send out fake ones too? Didn't they do that?
Oh, yeah. They tricked.
Yeah, because there were some leaked ones, right. But I don't know if I think I'd wait.
I'd wait.
I think I'd
wait. You gotta wait.
I don't know.
You don't want to know.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Michael Holly will help us take us to his show, Brother from Another on Peacock. Michael Holly, when we come back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Got taken to the old Supreme Court woodshed back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Remember that? Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. But some of the quotes coming out yesterday morning.
Jay's going to be on next Tuesday after the national championship game. So there's lots to talk about with Jay. Yeah. Let's get Michael Holly, a brother from another, right here on the Rich Eisen Show as he helps us take us to his show, Top of the Hour on Peacock. How are you, Michael Holly?
Rich Eisen, doing great. I missed you last week. I got to admit that. Something was missing from my Thursday. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yep.
And then around 2:40, 2:45.
Yep.
Usually with you, it's like 2:47, 2:48. No, I'm not complaining.
Wow. Jeez. I'm sorry, Mr. Holly. I'll be a little bit more more Tom Coughlin for you.
And, you know, it's funny, though. In all seriousness, I just did this. I'm not doing this for a shameless plug, but it was part of the conversation. I got this book with Bill Cowher coming out in June.
Oh.
So June 1st.
Okay.
So, and with Bill Cowher, he totally messed up my sense of time. Because I found in the first couple of conversations with him, he's one of those guys who says, hey, I'll call you at 10. And then at 9:59, 59 seconds, he calls. I mean, he's always timely. So that he made me that way.
Okay, very
so
good.
If he says 2:15, if he says 4 o'clock, I would be watching the clock. And exactly at 4 o'clock, bam.
Right.
I start calling at 3:59.
So
most people aren't like that.
So what you're doing, Michael Holly, if I may dissect your last couple of moments of your commentary here, is you humble brag that you've got a book coming out in June with Bill Cowher, and covered up your diva like behavior, bitching about me getting to you 90 seconds too late by saying you've got a book coming out with Bill Cowher and using Bill as a fig leaf for your diva behavior. Is that really what did I just pick up on that, Michael?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to look at it negatively,
but I'm normally a glass half full sort of guy, Michael.
I can see if you wanted to look at it cynically, I could see how you would arrive at that conclusion, but I'm not doing that. I love you, Rich. I'm coming on the Rich Eisen.
Right back at you, Michael Holly. What's on your docket today on Brother
Front
Other?
We have today, I'm so excited to talk to our brother, our other brother, Chris Sims.
Ah.
I love his draft rankings. They're good talking points. He's very precise with it, very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes against the grain sometimes, not just because that's the popular thing to do, but he really is getting into these film studies. So we've talked quarterbacks with him. We've talked top wide receivers with him. Now he's got his list of edge rushers out. So I just like talking draft with him because I could talk draft all day, and I'm sure you're like that as
of
well.
Of course.
Even though like half the guys or three quarters of the guys we haven't seen, but you just fall in love with the guy and say, yeah, they got to – get this guy paid from Michigan, even though you haven't watched
I'll tell you this, Michael, having been the host of an NFL draft now for 17 years, which is, I think, the equivalent of saying a book's coming out with Bill Cowher.
I got your little book, but I've done this for 17 years.
As a matter of fact, this being the first day of draft month, Chris, I'm going to say something about that every day that I've
that it's the second day and the third.
Yeah, that I've done the draft. This is my 17th year of doing draft.
As you should.
But the reason why I bring that up is not only to not so humble brag, but to say that any draft where there's a couple of quarterbacks at the top of the draft is what you're looking for. Like, with all due respect to Eric Fisher, the year that he was drafted first overall, and even Myles Garrett being drafted first overall, that's not what we're looking for when we're covering a draft, when we're promoting a draft, while we're broadcasting a draft. You want quarterbacks. You want quarterbacks because that means a team thinks that their fortunes are being changed right on the spot due to a quarterback. But when you've got maybe three going in a row at the top, and you're talking about the feasibility of four, if not even five, going at the top, which I don't think is going to happen. That's the good stuff. And when you having Chris Sims on, he's the one who said Zach Wilson has a better potential prospect skill set than Trevor Lawrence, and who also has been singing the praises of Mac Jones, who I do believe every single talent evaluator that I know of believes the 49ers traded up to get him. So, and now there seems to be going on right now a little Twitter fight between two members of the worldwide leader in sports community. I don't know if you're aware of that. Seek that one out. About Dan Orlovsky's comments about Justin Fields and what he's hearing about his work habits, and Kirk going back right at him for that sort of thing.
I love it.
Chris Sims should be a very timely guest for you at the top of the hour, Michael.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And I do think, Rich, in your 17th year of coverage.
Thank you for saying. Yeah, right.
Pretty amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you wanted me to say that.
No, it's all good.
How about I'll go even deeper.
Thank you.
Rich, you're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, no, I mean, Michael, I really appreciate you saying that. You don't really have to, but the fact that you did, I appreciate you prefacing your comments with that. Thank you.
Yes, you do. I'm sensing it. I'm sensing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a little pat on the back.
I appreciate that, Michael.
And I mean it, but it's actually sincere. It's good. I didn't tell you this story. I'll tell you this quick story. Real. I'm serious. Years ago.
Yeah.
I guess I can tell you the statute of limitations is up. Years ago, someone from the NFL Network, I'm not going to say any names, but someone from the NFL Network talked to me about the possibility of working there.
Okay.
I was flattered to even be considered. They picked somebody else. Actually, they picked 10 other people, and they never even called me back.
But, damn. Sorry.
They were talking about, I said, hey, just tell me a little bit about the NFL Network. Who's your best host, in your opinion? Just tell me. I said, look, if that's an awkward question, don't answer it. And I'm telling you, I swear this is true. It's going to sound like a lie. It's true. The guy said, Rich Eisen. I said, why Eisen? And he just went on and on. His understanding, his ability to work with others, to draw the best out of others, always prepared. If things break down, Rich can adjust. He just really raved on and on. I said, wow.
Thank you, Michael.
I've seen Eisen. I think he's okay. I mean, he's good.
Nice. Well, here's the ultimate, I guess, exclamation point on that sentence, Michael, is if it was long enough ago, I was the only host there, so they had no choice. There was no plan. There was no plan B, really, at all. There wasn't a very deep roster.
The roster was not the expansion.
Yeah, I had no choice. I had no choice but to go with the flow and try and whatever that person was kind enough to say were my attributes.
There were other people there.
I had no choice. I had no choice but to do that because there was nobody else, pretty much.
So the red sweater is plan B.
Thank you very much. Ken Bone, wow, dropping in here. Wow. Michael, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Send my best to Michael Smith, and we look forward to tuning into Brother from Another every single day right after this show on NBC Sports on Peacock. Thank you for the call, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. That's Michael Holly, everybody. There you go. Well, Darren Horton was there as well. I mean, it was just basically the two of us.
But he was doing the news. Like, that was it.
I mean, it was this. I told you that when we first started, that's when Google News came into being, and we would Google News NFL before leaving to make sure we didn't miss anything. That's how we started.
2003, like,
literally just a hair over a dozen staffers. That's it.
I mean, Rich, we'd be home before the show aired sometime. I remember, like, we'd pre-tape sometimes.
But if he did ask that in more recent times, who's your best host, I'm now offended. Right?
Of course.
Okay, let's get that straight.
I mean, yeah.
Thank you to John Boy, Chris Como, Bob Odenkirk, and Michael Holly. Greg Cosell will give us his two cents on all of the quarterback prospects and more tomorrow. And Ian Eagle will join us as well. We'll have a cherry vanilla beverage already chilled just in his honor. That'll be on Friday's edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back on NBC Sports on Peacock to take you to Michael Holly's show in a moment. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.